Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Big Time Baseball. I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. alongside my partner, John Heyman. And John, we're finally playing some games that actually count and matter. Opening day, all 30 teams in action. I can't recall the last time all 30 teams played on the same day, but I definitely like the feel of so many games on opening day. How was your opening day?
Yeah, the reason I can't recall that, I think it was 1908 was the last time that all 30 played on the same day of opening day.
So that's probably why I can't recall it then.
Yeah, that's even before my time, but it was great. It was shorter games, more action-packed, a lot of run scoring. I think the new rules probably helped that in both counts. You know, it was shorter games and more action because of the new rules. And we had some great star performances right away, including by Otani and Judge, who had that MVP battle last year, which was a good battle up until the very end. And we may be in for another AL MVP race that's another one for the ages this year between those same two gentlemen.
Yeah, they both picked up right where they left off last season. And I think my biggest takeaway, especially with the clock in effect, you're going to notice bad baseball immediately, because the only reason these games are going to get long is due to walks and errors. And I think the thing that stood out to me yesterday and watching a few games was you can immediately tell, oh, this is a good baseball game. And you could immediately tell, oh, this is going to be a pig today. Let's start with Otani. Six shutout innings, I think 10 Ks to start the year against Oakland. Now they lose the game, but he was Otani. Same guy we saw in the WBC basically came into the opening day game and continued on this tremendous process he's on.
Yeah, he's amazing. If there was any worries about him going to one inning to be the closer and close out the championship for Japan, they are allayed right away. 6 innings, 10 strikeouts, 2 hits, as you said. I know it's Oakland, but, they're major leaguers as well. And called his own pitches. He's just amazing, amazing. And, again, I got to give him credit for doing that WBC thing when he's a free agent after the year. You know, a lot of free agents wouldn't do it. Arias did it too, but a lot of free agents would not do that. And, I mean, he's the only one with $500 million on the line. And, you know, he's willing to risk to play in that WBC and then – a great performance for him right out of the gate for the Angels. And it's, I don't know. We'll see if it's the same theme. I have them going to the World Series, but they
lost. Wait. You got who going to the World Series?
The Padres. So I got to tell you, it's the Padres too. So you don't yell at me right away, but you can't go with the chalk every day. I mean, if I pick the Yankees every time, that'd be boring.
That is what you call a bold prediction right there. The Angels go for where they did they finish last in the NL West last year?
Possible in that division, but they were probably pretty close. they weren't good last year, but let's remember Rendon missed the year. Trout missed a lot of time. You know, they got the two best players in the game, arguably. I mean, I guess someone could make a case for Judge, but two of the three best players in the game, plus Rendon, Sandoval, really good if you saw him in the WBC. And they added a lot of depth. They had a great winter, I think. And they only spent only $92 million. They added, you know, Renfro and Drury and Urshela and Anderson, the pitcher, and Estevez. So, I mean, their problem was depth. They didn't have enough good players. They were too top heavy. I think they're pretty good right now. But, I mean, that division is not easy. Rangers are obviously improved. Seattle's obviously very good. And Houston, they're the champion.
Let's go to the other MVP, or I should say the MVP, because he actually beat out Ohtani. Aaron Judge, first pitch he sees in 2023, dead central, two-run shot, gave the Yankees a lead. They would go on to win. They would blank the Giants. Cole was tremendous as well in his opening day debut. It seems far-fetched, but could Judge pull this off again? Could we be having the same conversation we were having last year when it comes to him chasing a home run title?
I mean, it seems unlikely. I mean, he's the only one to hit 62, at least in my mind, legitimately, but the only one in the American League to do it. To do it again would be incredible. And you are right to say the other MVP because Ohtani was the MVP the year before. So to me, they're both MVPs. Fair enough. So I think that's fair. The guy is incredible. And let's not forget he played center field yesterday as well. He can run the bases with the bigger bags. He probably could steal 30 bases if he wanted to. You know, I don't know. It's a little risky. Although I think the bigger bags – now, you're kind of a fast guy, so maybe you would know more about this. The bigger bags, is that going to help guys – stay on the base more, and is it going to help in terms of not getting injured? It won't, the collision won't – a little bit, maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's where we'll see the biggest – I don't know. That's where it would have its biggest gains is preventing injuries. And those plays don't happen a lot, but when the base is wet or you get a throw that's a little bit off the line and a first baseman has to move – having a bigger base gives the base runner and the first baseman in a lot of cases a little more room to play. Now, in terms of stolen bases and all of that, talking to the players who are actually playing now, they don't see a big difference. The bang bang play is still the same bang bang play. So I don't know how much of an impact that will have, but certainly I think it'll stop some injuries for sure.
Yeah, there were more steals in spring training, but you can't really go by spring training stats. Most of those guys stealing are minor leaguers, probably. Major leaguers probably don't spend their time stealing bases and risking injury in spring training. But
no doubt.
I think all the rules are great. You know, I think they're all great, especially the clock. Although everybody's crediting the clock with the short games. I mean, my game was shorter than it would have been, certainly, but there were still six games that were 2 hours and 50 minutes or longer. So 40% of the games were still pretty long. I hope that's because of all the pomp and the circumstance of opening day and, you know, maybe something going on there. I was expecting the average to be 30 minutes less. I don't think it was that, but I think it's a positive if it's any less. Certainly for me and my deadlines, but I think for the fans who probably count as much as I do or maybe even more.
So here's my take on it. There are some games that are still long, but I think your point earlier is the bigger point. These are games that would have taken way longer last year. For instance, the Baltimore-Boston game, there was 19 runs, there was 26 hits, there was 3 errors. That game only went 3 hours and 10 minutes. That is a 4-hour-plus game last year. And so –
yeah, I mean, every Red Sox game takes way longer than it should. I mean,
that's true.
Who I love, Kenley Jansen, but I mean, you can have a picnic in the time it takes him to complete an inning. So they're going to be I think Devers had a violation. So I'm not sure. They may have only had one.
He had the worst kind of violation where he actually was out because of his violation.
That's not a good one. Not a good one. And I mean, the Red Sox games take forever. I know we all cite Red Sox Yankee games. Maybe it's because I'm a New Yorker, but I think it's Boston. they take forever in there. So hopefully they'll figure it out, and hopefully we won't have over 3-hour games. But you're right. If it's a 10-9 game, 3 hours and change is pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think the Padres went 2 hours and 40-plus minutes. It wasn't the cleanest baseball game, but certainly the clock is going to have an impact. I think in terms of the base running, you're going to see guys stealing. You're going to see guys – I think what has more of an impact on the steals is only being able to pick off twice. And I also think the clock plays into it, right? I mean – pitcher gets behind, he gets runners on, he wants to slow things down. That clock is going to put him on notice, which allows the base runner to kind of sync up some things in time. And if I'm a base runner, I am trying to draw throws as early as possible to get him to relinquish those, what they call it, disengagements from the rubber. Because the if he's left with just one and we get into a count where he needs to throw a strike, he's likely going to take the focus off me and focus on that hitter, because ultimately that's the one that has the most danger to him. So I think as the year goes along, and you started to see it towards the end of spring training, the strategies of hitters and pitchers in terms of that clock, as well as base runners.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, I mean, Scherzer threw over twice, one time, and I could see that the runner, and I can't remember who it was, sorry about that, ran right away the next, and it was a foul ball, so it didn't matter. But Scherzer was smart enough that he did real pretty quick pitching after that to kind of keep him on his toes. Yeah, the one thing that really happened with the clock in the game that I saw was a violation, and we still can't figure it. Even Buck Showalter couldn't figure it out. At least he claimed he couldn't figure it out. Maybe it was because it was against them. It was Pete Alonso took too long to get back to the bag after a foul ball, and poor McNeil got the strike. So it was only the second strike, and they ended up singling up the middle and driving in a run. But nobody could really figure it out. But the umpire came out, pointed to his watch, pointed to Alonso, and pointed to McNeil, and he had a strike. I guess after a foul ball, you better get on that bag and be ready to go. I'm not sure what he was doing. He's not sure what he was doing, but it was a violation.
Some of these rules are going to take kind of some trial and error, right? Because I hadn't heard anything about base runners having to be back to the base at a certain time. Now, I haven't read the rule verbatim out of the rule book, but I hadn't heard that. This is the first time I ever heard of that.
And there are going to be some adjustments on the fly. We had Rob Manfred on a podcast, and it seems like if there's some little hickeys, some little issues, they might make some adjustments. What I'm worried about is in key moments, you know, you got to speed it. You got to go fast. You know, ninth inning, tie game, get to the playoffs, got to go fast. And I asked him particularly, what if – is it possible we have a – time violation to end the World Series? And he said it's possible. And we don't want to see that, right? We don't want to see the World Series. The guy coming out pointing to his watch and saying time's up. So
it does.
Everybody will adjust, and maybe they'll adjust the rules a little bit so that won't happen.
I know from the players I talk to who are involved in, you know, those conversations with the league, it does seem like there's some room to kind of make some adjustments. And MLB is willing to listen. They don't want to move too far away from the rules that they have, but they are being flexible when it comes to taking feedback from the players who, of course, are playing the game. Let's talk about your Mets, because although Scherzer looked terrific in his outing, they did get some bad news. Justin Verlander goes to the IL with some sort of muscle strain, it sounds like. Can you talk, fill us in on that one?
Yes, muscle strain in the low grade, in the teres major, which, you know, I've heard that before. If you're on the Mets enough, you've heard all the potential injuries. I feel like I should be a doctor covering them. It's very unfortunate, unexpected. Now, he was not good in his last start. He's originally told us, thinks it was mechanical, but he was not feeling well in that last start, and he's still feeling something in the shoulder, armpit area. He's feeling well enough to keep tossing the ball so he doesn't have to build back up after taking a couple weeks off. But certainly, you know, a lot of people are going to say, oh, this is so Mets that this happens to them. They've signed a guy for $43 million who's had a great history of staying healthy to replace a guy who was unavailable somewhat, the most talented guy in the game, DeGrom, but not that available the last couple of years. And here the guy replaces him, now comes down with a surprise injury right at the start of the season. But it was overall a glorious day for the Mets out in Marlins Park, which I still call it Lone Depot Stadium. Fans, I would say, was maybe two-thirds Mets fans. That's got to be discouraging for the poor Marlins. The 31,000 tickets sold, and two-thirds of them seemed like, anyway, at least 60% Mets fans. And Steve Cohen was out there in the crowd with the seven line rooting on the Mets. So it was good to see the billionaire out with the strap hangers. And it was a fun day overall, but a rough start for the Mets.
I'm sure the Marlins players didn't like the fact that it was mostly Mets fans, but I have this strange suspicion that ownership wasn't too upset to see 31,000 in the seats there, especially following that WBC, where that place was probably as full as I've ever seen it.
It was packed, enthusiastic, incredible. You know, 31,000, he's happy, yes, with yesterday. You're absolutely right, Tony. But I don't know that's a great omen for this season. Sell out on opening day when you've got the Mets and all these New Yorkers down here. You know, what are they going to draw for the Nats in a obviously non-opening day game? It's going to be the same. And they added some interesting players. Their offense should be better. They have great young pitchers. The guy who started is the Cy Young winner, Alcantara. I think it's discouraging that they only drew 31 overall.
You're probably right. I think the bigger tell will be who shows up today, right? Opening day is dressed. We know you'll be there. Opening day is dress up for everybody. Yeah. But you know, for the real fans, this is the real opening day, in my opinion. Let's talk a little bit about what you saw yesterday in terms of some of the teams that look pretty strong. We can start with the Mets. I mean, Scherzer leading the way. They're able to put up five runs. I think that's going to be kind of the norm for that Mets offense. But they look pretty good opening day, along with some of these other teams. The Mets look good. The Mets look good. The Braves look good. The Rangers look good. There's some teams out here. I mean, I know it's opening day. We got a long way to go, but there are some teams that I think looked pretty good yesterday.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the Mets, their record on opening day is incredible. I think they lost their first 8 or 9 opening days. And since then they're like 40-10. So they're always good on opening day. I'm not going to read too much in it. Scherzer's terrific. And, they certainly need him right now without Verlander there. So that's an issue. I was disappointed in my two World Series teams both lost. Your Padres, so I'm not going to blame you. It's not entirely your fault. And, of course, my Angels, who didn't beat the A's, so that was not great news. But, I mean, the teams generally, a lot of the teams we expect to be strong. I don't think the Dodgers are going to win 111, but they're going to be a strong team.
They look good, though.
Braves look good. Yep, the Rangers certainly improved team. I think the White Sox will be better. They did go down and beat Houston at Houston. Dylan Cease, really good pitcher. We saw some strong starting pitching performances, but you pointed this out earlier. To me, we had some blowups among, DeGrom was the most obvious, $185 million, and he gave him a lot, the most extra base hits he's ever given up, 6 in a game, but there were several aces who did not pitch that way.
Yeah, that's certainly right. We'll get to that in a second. the Rangers, you mentioned DeGrom struggling through his start, but that offense looks pretty good. I mean, you got the likes of Semien, you got the likes of Seager. They put up 11 runs on 10 hits yesterday. The Phillies, they made that a game because the other starter on the other side, who's an ace, in Aaron Nola, he surrendered all his 9 runs in one inning, or at least the Rangers scored 9 runs in that fourth inning. But he was a big part of giving those up. I'm not all that surprised on the starters that didn't throw well, right? DeGrom, Nola, Burns, Hunter Green, Gallen. You could throw Snell in there. Remember, I know it's opening day and it's the regular season, but these guys aren't built up to where they'll be, and they're probably not as sharp as they'll be. We had a few guys who came out pretty sharp, but for the most part, this is kind of the norm. If you're going to get an opening day, an ace starter, opening day is a good time to do it because they're not fully dialed in yet.
Yeah, I mean, Cole was great. Otani was great, as we mentioned. Cease was really good. I mean, these are the best that we have to offer. And I do think there will be more offense with the banning of the shift. You mentioned Corey Seager. He lost 47 hits, according to one website, last year with the shift. That's a lot of hits to lose. That's probably almost 100 points on your batting average. So the Rangers' offense is going to be outstanding, and so is the Phillies. So I'm not surprised that was a high-scoring game, despite the star pitchers starting that game. I am shocked on DeGrom. I rarely had seen him blow up like this, and this was the most extra base hits he's ever allowed in a game. And, I mean, I saw him throw in spring training. It looked fabulous once he got rolling.
I did too.
I mean, the guy throws a starting pitcher throwing over 100 miles an hour. I mean, there are a few. Otani does it, but not a ton of throw over 100 who are starters. So, you know, I think he's going to be really good as long as he stays healthy, obviously. And their offense has improved. Not just the stars that you mentioned, but Grossman homered, Brad Miller homered. They have
Garcia.
Some good players as well.
Yeah, Dallas Garcia is another dude who I think is going to have a big year for them, especially in that lineup.
Yeah, he was good last year. He can hit. They've got a good offense, and they redid their whole rotation. It's going to be interesting to see. It's basically a whole free agent team, an acquired team, and see how they kind of join together to do it. But they certainly have the talent. And, again, as I mentioned, very tough division, you know, Mariners good, Astros good, and of course my Angels are going to be very good this year.
Of course. Your World Series picks lose to the team that's probably likely to finish last in the division.
Not likely, 100%. Yeah, okay. You're very 100%. That's a
100%. Did. Let's talk about some predictions. I'm not a big fan of making these predictions this early, but. You know, we gotta fill some time here, so it's a perfect time to do it. NL predictions. Let's start with division. Who you got winning the West, the Central, the East, and the National League?
Tastes have changed since Bob's Discount Furniture opened its first store in 1991, but not the way they do business. At Bob's, I know I can get today's styles, like feature-packed bedroom sets with storage and charging, or real marble dining sets, all at 90s-era prices. Plus, with no money-down financing options and fast shipping, you don't have to wait months to get your furniture. So, stop into your local Bob's store this Labor Day weekend and celebrate 35 years of doing things the Bob's way.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, I went with the Padres. I mean, obviously, it should be Padres or Dodgers. I thought all the moves they made were fantastic. Cardinals, to me, should win that Central now. It feels like the Brewers took a little bit of a step back. And I went with the Phillies. I think it's a three-team race in the National League. I'm looking bad through one game, but I love their offense, and I like what they did in the winter, and I think they can pull it off.
I'm going with the Padres in the West. I think this is the year they they surpassed the Dodgers in terms of winning a division. We know they beat the Dodgers in the playoffs last year, but I think a true sign that things are changing is if you start winning your division. And I think that's the next step for the Padres. They certainly have the roster to do it. They aren't at full strength right now. Robert Suarez on the IL, Joe Musgrove on the IL, Fernando Tatis Jr. is not eligible to come back until April 20th. I expect that they'll be fine. Now, I will say this. The one thing that typically division winners do is they pound the teams at the bottom of the division. The Padres have not been very successful at that in the last two seasons, which is why they haven't won a division. They were 9-10 against the Rockies last year, and that was an improvement on the year before where they were even worse against the bottom of the division. So I expect them to do that in the Central. Listen, my gut says the Cardinals, but I think this is a toss-up. I really do. I don't think the Brewers are all that bad, and if they stay close, I think anything can happen in this division. Now, if they fall out, expect to see them start to sell some of their better talent, come deadline time.
They did that last year when they were in first. So yeah. I don't even think you have to add that caveat if they fall out. You know, who knows what they're capable of doing. They were in front. They traded their closer. So, you know, it's a small market team. And they think differently than you and I. And, we'll see. But I you have more faith in them than I do. I mean, obviously, they have some good players. I think the rotation is outstanding. I'm a little concerned about that offense, particularly stack up to a team that's got Goldschmidt and Arenado. Yeah. And all of them, Contreras now, they got a lot of pieces.
In the East, I'm going to buck the trend a little bit here. I'm going to take the Phillies. So I'm not bucking the trend in. I like the Phillies ball club. I think they learned a lot about themselves in that run last year. I think they'll be better for it. And then you add to the fact that they bring in Trey Turner, who I think – you'll hear here in a second, has a chance to be an MVP when it's all said and done this year. I like where he's at in terms of the division. Let's talk MVP. I give you mine. I think it's going to be Trey Turner. He's my National League MVP this year. I just think he's carrying over his WBC performance. I think that's going to roll right into the year, and I think he's going to have a phenomenal year. He's in a place he wants to be. He just signed this big deal, and I played with Trey. He's not the type that I think will go out and put too much pressure on himself to the point where he starts to struggle. Like we often see from guys who sign big deals, they try to prove their worth in that first year. He's a very cool minded person. I don't see him getting to that, especially since he signed to go to Philly. I mean, if you sign to go to Philly, you know what comes with it. I think he's going to be the MVP. Who's yours?
You played with Trey. You're even younger than you look. I can't even believe it. You played with Trey. He's playing right now in the middle of his career. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm jealous. I go in with Juan Soto. So I mean, I think he's the best hitter in baseball, and he's something to prove after coming over and not really being himself, other than walking. And he was pretty good in the playoffs, but didn't hit like we remember him hitting for the most part in Washington. And when I was out there and saw the Padres, I don't think I saw him make an out. And I know he went to WBC and hit there. The guy can hit. And I was surprised they didn't come after him and make an offer this spring. He's got 2 years to go and Scott Boras. So good luck that they're going to sign him with that. But, hey, look, the Padres have shocked me before. Who thought they were going to come up with the money for Bogaerts and Machado twice? They do an amazing job there, Peter Seidler and the group. And who knows? They may go for Soto and Ohtani. I don't know. But Soto's my guy.
Cy Young for this year. Who you got? National League.
Cy Young, National League. I love Urias as a pick. Give me your pick first.
That's who I'm going with. I'm going with Julio Urias. Okay. I think he's really put together 2 years worth of Cy Young quality work.
Yeah.
I think this is the year he gets over the hump. You've removed some of the better pitchers out of the National League. They've gone to the other league. I just think this opens up. And with him being at the forefront of the rotation for the first time, right? Walker Buehler's not available. Kirsch is still an unbelievable pitcher. He's just not as young as he once was. I like Julio to be that Cy Young this year in the National League.
Yeah, well, that's my pick for those who didn't read my post preview, and I already picked Justin Verlander, and he's injured. So I will now go with Urias as the Cy Young winner. That's cheating, though, I think. I did pick Verlander, but I like
still
at
time.
This moment, Urias is the healthier one. So.
All right, we'll go to the AL predictions. I'll give you my division winners here. I know you already gave us your West. In the West, I'm taking the Mariners. I like the club they've put together this year. It's not that the Astros have gotten worse, because they didn't. They're pretty much the same team minus Verlander. They added Abreu, which I think is going to be a great pickup for them when it's all said and done. But I like this Mariners team. I'm a believer in the previous year's work and what that does for your mentality, your confidence in that following year, especially when the nucleus is the same as it is for the Mariners. I thought they probably played the Astros the toughest in the playoffs. I don't think anybody else played them as tough as the Mariners. They lost two close games in extra innings or in late in games. They blew two leads late in games. And then they had the epic however many inning finale against them before being eliminated. I like this team. I think they're confident. I think they win the West. In the Central, my gosh, this is a toss-up in my opinion. But the White Sox, I know they disappointed a lot last year, but they got the same guys. And they got some really good players on their ball club. I really like where they're at. I think they have a bounce back year. They win the Central. In the East, I think it's the Yankees. I think it's the Yankees division to lose. Them adding Rodon, I think it's going to be a huge piece that they add. I don't know that they had a better rotation last year. I think this rotation this year is probably better than the one they had last year. And that's, you know, that rotation last year surprised a lot of people and how well they pitched. So I like the Yankees in the East.
Well, you did great, but unfortunately you went 0-3. I'm going to stick with the Astros. I mean, they got a lot of issues right now with the injuries, with Altuve, with Brantley. Alvarez, I'm still wondering about, and coming back and off of a championship, also an issue. But I'm going to think they stick. I like three teams making the playoffs there. I only have the Angels going to the World Series as a wild card. Yeah, I don't know. I know that's crazy, but in the Central,
not that crazy. The Phillies did it last year, so.
I went with the Guardians. I do think the White Sox should be much better than 500, but I just can't pick against the Guardians. I can't believe they won that division going away last year, and they bring back basically the same team with the same rotation. I like the Jays rotation. Yankees have a couple of injury questions in the rotation right now. Obviously, it's going to be should be a dogfight with those two teams, though.
All right, let's go MVP Cy Young. We'll finish it up there. I'll give you my MVP. I think this young man has a bounce back season after a disappointing season from his standard, and that's Vlad Guerrero Jr. I think he has a terrific season. I'm still one of these skeptics that I need to see Ohtani continue to do this for a long time. There's no other human being that has been able to do this and sustain this type of play for a long period of time outside of Babe Ruth. Now, you know, there's a whole bunch of caveats to that, but I think Ohtani, he has set the bar so high for himself. If he comes below that at all, people won't look at it the same way. And so I think he puts himself at a disadvantage. I think it opens the door for a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I think he had a disappointing year last year. I think he has a bounce back season this year and wins the MVP.
Well, I went with the most obvious Ohtani. I think he was certainly going to do it one more year. And I think whoever's going to sign him is going to expect him to do it at least another 5 years and probably give him at least a 10-year deal. You know, I've never seen anything like this. So that's the most obvious pick. And believe it or not, I think Vlad Guerrero is a long shot in this race when you've got Judge and you've got Ohtani. So I take my hat off to you.
I mean, if it's Judge hitting 68 homers this year and Ohtani doing anything close to what he did the last 2 years, he's definitely an outsider looking in on this one. Cy Young,
I went with the chalk, although I think I saw the odds and DeGrom is the favorite. But in my mind, it should be Gerrit Cole. I mean, he's the most dependable of the aces. You may not say he's the best pitcher, but of the aces, he's the most dependable. He's always going to take the mound every 5 days. And it's hard to believe he's never won a Cy Young. And, you know, it's interesting about Urias. He's never even made an All-Star team. And that really is our two picks now that I've eliminated Verlander. And Cole to me should be the favorite, is the favorite, and he looked pretty good.
I'm going with Framber Valdez. I love he's the one that is going to probably benefit from this pitch clock the most because of the tempo in which he works. Hitters are never going to feel comfortable against him for the most part. He's going to quick pitch you. He's going to be on top of that mound, ready to throw. Now, it's going to be incumbent on hitters to use up with nobody on their 12 seconds and with some, or excuse me, with nobody on their 7 seconds and with nobody on their 12 seconds, because otherwise you're at the mercy of him. And the, you know, one thing about hitters, none of us like to be rushed. And so I think he has a big advantage this year. He's already a terrific pitcher. He's an old school pitcher. He's not trying to punch you out. He's just trying to get you to beat the ball into the ground. He wants to use as few pitches as possible. I love his style. I think he's the Cy Young Award winner this year.
Yeah, I'm going to date myself here. This is well before your time, but it's a modern day Jim Codd or Randy Jones that left.
100% Randy Jones.
Yeah,
100%
before your time. Yeah,
they're both before my time. I just happen to know Randy a little bit better. So
right.
We got our predictions in for the year. That's going to do it for this episode of Big Time Baseball. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, including the free Odyssey app. Turn on the auto download feature and to get all of our pods as soon as they drop. Tony Gwynn Jr., he's John Heyman. We'll catch you next week.